You're not going to want to miss this next episode of the AI Show, where Jason shows us how to build really good conversational bots using something called Project Conversation Learner. Make sure you tune in. Hello and welcome to this episode of the AI Show. I've got a special guest, Jason Williams, to talk about something called Project Conversation Learner. How are you doing, my friend?
Good, thanks.
Tell us a little bit about Conversation Learner.
Sure. So let me describe what the problem setting is here. So the problem setting is we want to build a task-oriented bot, a task-oriented conversational system. So this could be something that's in a smart device in your home, like a thermostat. It could be a skill in an intelligent assistant. It could be a bot that you interact with over, say, a messaging client. And there are a lot of challenges there that we seek to solve. The first one is that when you get started designing one of these, you start with examples of conversations, but that's sort of a throwaway artifact. There's no way of going directly from that to a working system. The second is that as you log interactions of people using your system, you'd really like to be able to look at that and directly make change, make improvements right from looking at those examples of interactions without having to reverse engineer changes to a flowchart or to a rule system. And the third is that, you know, we know all the benefits of putting machine learning at the center of driving a dialogue system, but machine learning expertise is expensive and it's rare.
And so traditionally what you do with these bot systems is you have to get a lot of examples and then you create some crazy rules and maybe they work and maybe they don't.
Exactly.
And you said also conversation also includes speech is what you're saying as well, because you said there's certain devices that take in speech and convert to text as well. This all sort of fits into that same issue, right?
Yeah. So this particular tool is agnostic to how the input comes in. It could be speech that's then converted with a speech recognizer. Our input is text, so whether it comes from speech or you're typing, either is fine for us.
Awesome. So show us how this works.
Yeah, sure. So what this is an AI-first way of building a bot. So at the center of it is a recurrent neural network. What that means is it takes the whole of the conversation history so far and directly predicts what the system should do next. This allows it to learn directly from example conversations. You give it example conversations, it learns the function that maps from a history to the next thing the system should do. This allows designers, business owners, domain experts to directly give you those example conversations and learn from them. So there's no flowchart behind the scenes. It's a machine learning model that's driving the process.
So in this case, you're not like creating templates that say, usually they'll say, hi, I want to work with blank, and then you tag that blank. Now you're just saying, here's some real conversations that I've had, and this is what?
Not quite. So the set of actions a system can take, you still have control over that. So okay. Those are templates, or they're API calls that you write. The distinction is that the control strategy that's deciding which of those to take next, that process is being driven by a machine learning process.
I see, that makes sense. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I just want to point out too that this approach is situated in code. So you can also give us business rules, you can express constraints over when actions are available or not. So for example, if you are a banking system, you want to have a rule that says only let people transfer funds after they're logged in. That's not a machine learning relationship. You can code for that relationship. You can be sure that that will be respected. You can also have actions which, instead of being communicative actions like sending a message, those can be API calls. So that lets your decision process also have actuators to go off and do stuff in the world.
I see. So it's not like this thing is going to run amok in your business and do whatever it thinks it's supposed
exactly.
to do. What you can do is you can sort of guard that with an API call that says, hey, I suggest this. And then the API call will go into some rules engine that says, hey, no, this might be an underage person. We don't do that here. Or this might be some other thing that doesn't fit our business rules. Mm-hmm. You can guard against that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. You can take your business rules for your setting. You can also express common sense. The overall philosophy is to code what it makes sense to code and to learn what it makes sense to learn.
That's amazing. Cool. All right, can we see how this works?
Yeah, sure. So let me just describe the overall workflow, and then I'm going to give a couple different demos. So when you get started with a machine learning process, you need data to train on. The issue here is that there is no data yet. So we solve the cold start problem in the following way. The developer, and here this could be anyone on your project, I'm just saying developer, starts playing the part of the user. So they type in what the user might say, and then they interactively make corrections to what the system should do. And this allows you to just go in and start giving examples of what the system should do. That gets you started. After, you know, maybe 20 or 30 conversations, what you typically find is you've got a system that's working relatively well. You can then take that system and put it in front of end users, at first friendly users, and then the developer goes and makes corrections. to the conversations that have happened with them. And this process gets you from nothing to something to good. So it's a steady progression. It's the same machine learning model you're improving the whole time. So do you want to see how it works?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I'm starting to get a feel for, like, this is something that you want. You want something to happen based on what people say. You have nothing. You start with the developer saying things.
Yep.
Then you move it to the friendlies internal, and then you get a really good system after
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool. So let me switch over and show you. So this is Conversation Learner. And here I'm going to show, this is a simple example to get started.
Cool.
So this is just showing the basics. I'm going to show a second demo in a second that'll kind of show the richness.
Cool.
And here, these are all example conversations that I've entered so far for this bot. This is a bot that helps you to reset your password. So let me show an example of one of these. This is what the user says, I can't remember my password. And then this is the system response, user, system, user, system. So this is what the machine learner is learning from. It's these whole conversations. So this to make this concrete, when it's time to predict what the system should do here at this point, it's taking everything before it as input and predicting that's the action that it should take next.
So is this a dialogue that you have as a developer between yourself initially?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, that makes sense now.
Yeah, and I'm going to show you an example of that now. So let's say I want to add another one of this, and the process of creating another and inspecting what the system is doing is joined up, so you're doing both those activities at the same time. So I can start by saying, I lost my password. There's a first step here. We'll come back to this in the second demo. Don't worry about that for now. And what we see come out are the network's predictions. So it's saying, OK, at the very first turn of the dialogue, the network thinks with 94.9% certainty that this is what it should do first. And this is the correct action. These are the other ones in here. So I'll go ahead and say, yeah, that's the right thing. That's what you should do. And OK, so is that for your local account or Microsoft account? I'll say, my local account, please. And then the predictions from the network that come back will be here. Which version of Windows do you have? And that's right. That is what I want the system to do. Right. So the assumption here is that I know what I want the system to do. And let's say, now let me say, let's say Windows XP. Let's say that someone has that. Now this was rare. Like, I wasn't necessarily expecting this so far. And what you'll see here is in the set of actions that are available, there's actually no solution for Windows XP. That's fine. At any point, I can add another action. So I can say, OK, how to reset password on Windows XP. And that could be a link to rich content. There are a variety of different types of actions. I'll come back to that in a second.
This is almost like you're training like a brand new support agent. This is the script that you follow. Oh, if they say this, then do that.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty intuitive what's going on.
Yeah, at any point, you can add more actions. I can go back later, too, and change the text of these actions. And you'll see later on, there's a lot of richness to what these actions can be. But right now, I'm just trying to give you the basic idea. So now there's a new action that's in there. It knows something about when to take that new action. It may not get it perfectly at first, but that's where machine learning is going to come in.
Cool.
Okay, so I can go in, repeat this process, and you were seeing from the scores, I can develop this intuitive sense of how well the model is working. So those scores were all kind of in the mid to high 90s. That gives me some certainty that it knows what it's doing. So now I'll switch over and say, let's say I'm the end user, right? So now I'm going to play the part of just being the end user and use this. This is the web chat control. So this could be embedded in your web page, and this is all built on top of the bot framework. So this could be exposed via Skype Messenger or another messaging client or as a skill in an assistant. Let's say someone comes along and says, I can't remember my password. And let's see, let's say that's for my Microsoft account. And OK, so far so good. And then let's say this user says thanks. Okay, so this is not what the system should be doing
right
here. This is going, if you've ever built a bot, this is going to happen. You're going to put this out there. People are going to say things that you hadn't expected. And your system, you may need to add some new richness to your system that you hadn't expected. That's the world of interacting with natural language. So now, that was the end user. I'll switch over now, and as the developer, I can see that log of that conversation is now here. I can open it. And I can look at this conversation and say, OK, let's see. This is correct. This last one, the person said thanks. What should the system have done instead? And I can go in here are the scores. Look, it was pretty uncertain. Okay, and none of these is correct. I want to add another action. So I would like it to say, you're welcome. So I'll add that action. That adds it to the palette of actions. I can then say, that's what you should have done instead. It then drops me into a teaching dialogue, so I could continue this if I wanted to, if I wanted to explore maybe what could happen after that. But I won't do that here. I'll say done. It removes it from the set of logs, adds it to the set of train dialogues. And one thing I haven't said so far is every time you make any kind of correction, it immediately kicks off a training job. There is a training queue in the background that's constantly retraining the network. Every time you get a prediction, it's using the most recently available model. So your model is constantly up to date.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I can see infinite use for this right now because, I mean, you, generally when you're building a bot, the way what happens is something goes wrong and you're like, oh, that looks weird. Let me go in there and tinker with things to see if I can get to work. Here you're just saying, no, this is the right thing, little AI. You're going to be okay, right? And so that's pretty cool. What does this look like when you use it? Like, I feel like it's a really good way to train, but as a programmer, I want to see like more in depth.
Absolutely great. So let me talk about that. So let me give you the whole control loop, and then you'll see sort of your control points as a developer.
Cool.
So a message comes in, and one thing I haven't exercised so far is entity extraction. So it's actually a second machine learning model that I'm going to show you in just a second. That lets you pick out entities. So here, for example, Seattle, that substring, that will be identified as a location entity, just a string. Then here's your first opportunity to inject code. You can take the text of that, what's the weather in Seattle, you can also take that entity detection result and go off and do whatever you want to. You're in code now. So you can, for example, resolve it and say, Seattle is a place that I know how to get the weather forecast for. If someone said, what's the weather on Mars, I can work out that I cannot resolve that to a place I can get the weather for, even though the entity extraction might have picked that out because it's a location. After that happens, then you pass control back to the neural network. And also in the entity detection callback, you'll see that's the place where I can be controlling which actions are going to be screened out. You're going to see that in just a second. So the neural network gives me that ranking that you saw before. And here it's choosing this forecast API call as its top choice. That will execute that API call. And also these actions don't have to immediately hand control back to the user, so I can take multiple actions in a row. So after this forecast action, in red now, those scores are now new. That's its second turn, and it can say anything else and then execute that action. So you have these two places for code, and after entity detection happens, and then as a part of API call execution. So I have a demo that shows you that.
Let's do that, because I'm understanding you're saying that things are coming in, but you're getting a lot of information as a developer that you can do actions on, but I'd like to see what that looks like in code.
Awesome. So let me switch back and show. Let's go here. Okay, so this is a different setting. This is going to be about ordering pizza.
Cool. I'm all about that.
So here I have three entities. The first one, toppings, is going to recognize pizza toppings, and that's what the user says. The second two are not things that the user will say, but they're things that the system may want to output. So these entity values can be used both for capturing things from user input and also parameterizing actions for output.
I see.
And here, I'll show you that here. Here are the actions for this system. So this will look straightforward. What would you like on your pizza? Actions can also refer to entities. So you have $toppings on your pizza. Actions can also be constrained by the presence or absence of entities. And that's the connection with business logic. So here, this you have $toppings on your pizza. You can see in this column required entities. That's saying toppings has to be defined in order to take this action. And that makes sense because it would be impossible to take that without. But you could add additional constraints there.
Cool.
There's also sort of the opposite of that. If toppings is defined, then this action, what would you like on your pizza, is not available. In other words, this is a common sense constraint. I want to prevent the system from asking something it already knows the answer to. And finally, actions can also be API calls. So those I've implemented in code, they're running locally on my machine in the bot.
I see. Okay, so there's like a combination of different endpoints that you could be reaching. Some of it forms part of the AI that's in there. Some of it forms part of your business rules and processes. That's
exactly,
awesome.
Yeah. One final note about actions. They can either be wait actions, which means perform the action and then stop, let the user do something. Or they can be non-wait, which means just take another action after. So that lets me develop sequences like, hold on a second while I look that up. call some long-running API, and then say, okay, here's what I found.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So let's switch over and show what this looks like as I step through.
Cool.
So this is in the pizza ordering domain. So let's say order a pizza with mushrooms and cheese. So first thing that'll happen is that entity extraction step. There are about seven or eight train dialogues in here so far. So it's seen a couple of examples, and that entity extraction model, which uses Lewis on the back end, that's predicting that mushrooms and cheese are toppings. So that's where that came from. That was the entity extraction step. If these were not right, I could fix them. So I could click on here and I could say, okay, that's a topping or not. And they can span multiple words, obviously.
Cool.
So I'll go ahead and score that. And what you'll see is that mushrooms and cheese, that now shows up as being of the value for topping. So it's accumulating these values. And it wants to take the action, you have toppings on your pizza. That's right. So go ahead and do that. That's a non-weight action, so then now I get to choose the next action. Would you like anything else? It's predicting that with very high confidence. That's what I want it to do. There's some richness to entities here. I can say remove mushrooms and add peppers. And here, this mushrooms is labeled as minus toppings and peppers is plus toppings. So I can add and remove things from this list. And that gets reflected in the toppings entity that gets persisted. So peppers is in bold to show you that it's arrived, that it's new. Mushrooms is now in strike through. You have $ toppings on your pizza. That looks good. Would you like anything else? Looks good. Okay, so now I'll give an example of where that entity extraction callback is going to be useful. So if I say add yam, yam is our example of something that this pizza store does not have.
Right.
And here, that gets labeled as topping, which is right. Now, when I say score actions, you're going to see that's going to show up as being added to this out-of-stock entity. So what just happened there was, remember from my diagram, after the model runs, then there's this code that runs. So here, this is the code for this bot that's running on my machine. This is that entity extraction callback. And what happens there is I grab the set of toppings that have been recognized. I step through them. And for each one, if it's not in stock, then I move it from toppings to out of stock. And my in stock function here is just stubbed out for the demo. It's checking to see if it's one of these toppings.
And this looks like it's written in TypeScript.
This is in TypeScript, yeah.
This is amazing. Like, because the challenge I've always had with these things is like, okay, they're not very smart. When something goes out of the ordinary, I need to do something. Mm-hmm. And what's cool here is that it's actually identifying when something is out of the ordinary, or at least giving you the possibility to detect out of the ordinariness, mm-hmm. if you can call it that. And then you can react the way that you need to, which is really cool.
Yeah. I think that's a good summary. Okay, so here, one thing to point out is now because this out of stock entity is defined, that is governing which actions are available. So now there's a different set of actions that are available. So one thing about these constraints that's interesting is they're both letting you express business rules that are important for your system. Also, by expressing common sense, you're limiting the set of actions that are available. That's reducing the complexity of the machine learning problem. So it takes that reduces the amount of data you have to put in. So you have these multiple control levers. You can learn what it makes sense to learn, and you can code what it makes sense to code. So here, let me kind of bring this to a close here pretty soon. So we don't have yam. Would you like anything else? Now if I say no. So one thing to point out here is I'm not labeling the intent no, right? You might think of an intermediary label. Instead, I'm just directly choosing which action the system should take next. And what I want it to take next is this finalize order. This is an API call. And that returns this, your order is on its way. That API call is also, again, a part of my bot here. This is, I have access to the entities that have been defined. I'm in code here, so I can do whatever I want to. In a real system, this is the point where you would make that API call to actually send the pizza to someone's address. Here, it just returns this string.
This is pretty amazing.
Cool.
I like it a lot. I mean, there's tons of use cases for this. I'm pretty mm-hmm. excited about this. Where can people go to find out more if they want to get started?
Yeah, so this is going to be launched as a Labs Cognitive Service at Build. You can go to this page, labs.cognitive.microsoft.com. And when this is available, you'll see an entry there for Conversation Learner.
Awesome. Well, this has been impressive. Thanks so much, Jason, for spending some time with us.
Pleasure.
Thanks so much for watching and learning all about Project Conversation Learner, how to supercharge your bots to get your work done. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time.